You're listening to the Cinemaniacs for July 27th, 2008. There's a stone cold bitch in the cheap seats, cracking my knees, okay, you grin fox, you bunch of fucking monkeys, pretty pictures, Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the Cinemaniacs. We're the podcast that talks about movie reviews, news, and whatever we choose. My name is Walt. To my left is Jeff.
Hola.
In front of me is my beautiful wife, Lisa.
Hello.
And to my right is my brother, Pete.
How you doing? Once again, welcome back, brother.
Hey, brother.
Apparently you had a good time last time, huh?
Can't get enough of this.
All right.
Nice to have you back, man.
Good to have you back. After all these years, I would have had enough of you, but I can't get enough of you.
Hey, nobody gets enough.
Apparently, I'm a glutton for punishment.
Nobody gets enough of the big boy. Nobody.
The big boy.
It's plenty to go around.
That's right, baby.
Longtime listeners may remember John was here a few times and telling us some stories about Pete in the movie theater. Pete, any response to those?
Oh, yeah. Jeez, I never heard such a storytelling in all my life.
So, okay, all right. Well, let's see what the first
all right,
thing.
So the first movie I pulled out the BlackBerry, it was, you know, during the right before the movie started, because it's a very important information was going back and forth.
X-rated text?
Wait. No. Well, okay, hold on. Let's slow this down.
It was a situation that needed to be addressed and handled right then and there, whatever. Okay, so that's all fine and good. Now, you know, all right, so that was wrong. It bothered him or whatever. Okay, fine. But he's saying that we went to a movie a few days later, and I pulled it out and did texting. That's absolutely untrue. During the trailers, I do, because I don't have a pen and paper, I have BlackBerry, I do write down movies that are coming out. Oh, I want to see that movie, and I'll write down the name of it and the date of release during the trailers, and then I put it away.
That makes sense.
Because I want to remember the movies that are going to come out, the date they're coming out and stuff.
Yeah, and you did that during the indie trailer and everything.
Right, and then I put it away. That's all I was doing. He says, oh, the second time he just kept texting. No, that's a bunch of crap.
Okay.
The one time I did do it, but you know.
Okay. Now the weird homophobic fear of sitting next to your own brother. Are you having urges that you just can't control on your own? I mean,
look, I don't sit next to you either.
Well, I was about to address that. I'm a big guy. I don't sit next to most anybody because, man, I take up damn near a seat and a half. It's, you know, so you want a little space between, unless you really want to get to know me, you know.
Well, here's the thing.
So, but you and your brother, fairly normal sized dude, you know, you guys could sit next to each other without accidentally touching.
Oh, that's another thing. John thinks he and I are the same size.
Uh-huh. Negative.
I found that very amusing.
No. I mean,
oh, I'm the same size as him. I don't think so.
You're
I wish I was your size again. That was several years ago. But,
you are a bit stockier than
no,
me.
But
girthy.
No, I like to have my arm room. I like to be able to stretch out. You know, if I don't have to sit next to anyone, then I won't. You know, we'll get stuck next to Walter. They were kind of sandwiched between 12 kids and stuff. That's fine. Sit next to a woman, of course. I mean, that's a fringe benefit to going to the movies. Oh, you get close and intimate with a woman.
Oh, yeah. Best part of the Dark Knight for me.
What was his name?
His name was Lisa.
You're sitting
right next to him, you poor dumb
whatever,
bastard.
She was sitting next to the wall. Just because she was on your left don't mean the other person wasn't on your right.
Oh, no.
Him and I went to see The Dark Knight by ourselves.
Yeah.
No, get out of town.
Why was it work?
Oh, man.
You wouldn't believe what I made her
do. You know what's going on behind your back,
Pete,
over here?
You wouldn't believe what I made her do for the Red Vine.
So, I like to stretch out. I know John had mentioned that...
$4.
You know, geez, how gay is it that it looks like two dudes sitting separately at a chick flick or whatever he called a romantic comedy or whatnot. I'm like, yeah, but how much gayer would it be for the two dudes
right
to be sitting right next to each other by themselves at the freaking romantic comedy or the chick flick?
I would have taken a picture.
You know what I'm saying? What's more gay if you want to go down that route? I mean, not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah. Dude would have whooped out his camera phone.
That's right.
I mean, come on. But, you know, hey. But that's John for you. What can you do?
Yeah, it's all good, though.
Well, in this week's show, we're going to be talking about the new films in theaters, The X-Files, I Want to Believe, Step Brothers, and a not too old release of the new Wes Anderson, or the latest Wes Anderson movie, The Darjeeling Limited.
Yes.
It's a train.
Dude, you just ruined the whole fucking movie.
I got to tell you.
You suck.
Hey, you're not talking now.
No.
Format, buddy. The last time was one movie.
This
is a regular episode.
Yeah.
You're rocking the boat,
dude. Walt dictates the pace.
Gotcha.
Okay? Even I know that.
Hey, look. I play second fiddle. See? You got number one, and I'm the ensign whoever. Yeah. Okay.
So, but this motherfucker right here, is Captain Steubing. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't you fucking forget it.
All right. All right.
I can't even be Picard.
That's what I said. I'm thinking you're Picard, and dude pulled out with Steubing.
What you need to get is the the time delay, the beep.
Beep.
Let the rest of us know we're out of order.
How's your
It's gone. It didn't make it. It's dead, Jim.
I'm giving her all she's got.
I can't give her no more, Captain.
And How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days is not my favorite movie of all time.
Even the backwash.
Really? But Lisa, you've said that before.
Oh, I love that
movie. The backwash in that thing tastes like tequila. That was a strong motherfucking drink.
It is. It is.
Anyhow, okay.
In the news, just this morning, actually, about 3 o'clock in the morning, Shia LaBeouf, one of our favorite stars, was arrested for drunk driving in Los Angeles.
Oh, Shia.
Shocker.
No, he's so young, and he has promise.
Dumbass.
He does. He does.
Well, he ain't dead.
That was between his lines of coke.
He's following the Britney path.
He ain't dead. He's just
no, dumb. No.
Dumbass.
Did Harrison break him out?
It was involved in a car accident, and actually he had to have extensive hand surgery. But he's working on Transformers 2 right now and plans to return to the set in about a month.
This is a promotional deal, so he'll come back with a Transformer hand.
Bionic hand, right?
Yeah. I was totally thinking the same thing.
Prime hand, right?
Sweet.
Nice. Absolutely. How great would that be?
But, and that's unlimited individual sex.
If you
just think about that.
You never get tired.
Yeah.
If you wanted to go down that path, Christian Bale was arrested too.
Well, not technically arrested. I mean, detained and questioned. In England, they call that arrest.
Hey, I don't blame him for wanting to punch a family member every now and then.
Hey,
shit.
Trust me, my sister comes up to me and goes, give me $100,000. I'm going to slap
her
out.
Where you been? Yeah.
Right. One thing I see was when someone made a disparaging remark about that fine wife of his. I think that's when things went...
I'll blame him one bit. I'm ready to go fisticuffs over Walt any day.
Well, we should open a gossip column like in the beginning or end of the show. When
let the other shows
we
do
don't
that
like
garbage.
Gossip.
Nah, we don't do gossip.
Some of it's good stuff.
We don't do gossip.
Movies.
Just like the Us magazine and In Touch magazine.
Don't give a crap about that.
No, don't like it. Those magazines flat out lie.
Yeah. Trust me, all this is coming out. We're having fun with it, but yeah, no, this ain't what we do.
Yeah.
No. Anyway.
Walt takes a good shit out.
he leaves plenty of good shit.
I'm Kim, baby. So you were saying about Shia LaBeouf.
Well, he was treated for injuries to his head, his left hand, and his knee. The female passenger riding with him and the driver of the other car were not seriously hurt.
Oh, that's very good.
But, yeah, dumbass.
What are these people going to learn?
Dumbass.
You say that, and you have some law enforcement friends that that's their thing. They drink and drive. That's like a rule for law enforcement people.
I say the same thing to them. When are you guys going to freaking learn? Why are you going to piss away your career or something so stupid? When are these Hollywood people going to learn? Drugs, booze.
Women.
They just can't get enough. It's like this persona. They feel they have to portray this certain persona in order to be in Hollywood. It's ridiculous.
No. Yeah. Ain't like the boy can't afford a cab. Anyhow. Great. So, yeah, Shia, you fucked up.
Yeah. You're an idiot.
You're not too late to make better choices in your life, dear.
You're a great actor so far,
very nice.
You're an idiot.
Well, in other news, Batman this weekend crossed over the $300 million mark. First movie, in record time, 10 days. Oh, it made about $75
million. It's like $30 million a day. That's awesome.
Jeez.
And it deserves it. It so deserves it. What a great movie.
That's The Dark Knight. And, $314 million in 10 days so far.
Jesus.
Beautiful. That's awesome.
What's its rank now?
Well, it's the number one movie of the year.
No, I mean rank as far as like top 10 money-making moguls.
It's still a little early, I think.
Can we honestly say that the four of us are in the wrong line of business?
Hell yeah!
Well, it's up to number 23 on the all-time blockbuster list, just past The Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring.
In only 10 days.
Wow.
In 10 days.
Which one was the Fellowship?
The first one.
Okay. Which one was the biggest one, the third one? Money-making-wise?
I believe so.
Because hell, I even went to saw the third one.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this movie's great. Have you seen this movie, Pete? We've already reviewed it.
Yes.
But
give us your thoughts.
We'll give
you
30 seconds to give your 2 cents. How'd you enjoy it?
It's my favorite Batman movie to date. I've never been a big fan of the Batman or any other comic book,
superhero
movies to date. so to speak. So, you know, I'm always skeptical going in. Anyways, they are what they are. You know, they're going to be entertaining, absolutely. I don't think I've ever walked out of a superhero movie disgusted. You know, I was entertaining. I'm only a But they're very good. Definitely better than the first one. As far as the Christian Bale tenure, I guess, whatever you want to call it. Heath Ledger was great. So everyone else said that. I never thought that there was anyone was better than Jack Nicholson, but he made a better joke than Jack Nicholson did. And Christian Bale's still not my favorite Batman, but, you know, whatever. But the movie was... I gotta say, I was really partial. I don't know. I like Michael Keaton.
Oh, of course.
I really do.
I don't say that. There's nothing wrong with saying you like Michael Keaton.
Yeah, I
like Christian Bale better, but I don't want to think I love Michael Keaton's version of Batman, too.
Yeah, Michael Keaton's Bruce Wayne was like everyday man. Right. He was rich and everything, but yeah, he was like a normal guy.
I liked Michael Keaton as Batman better, but, I mean, what can you say? You know, Heath Ledger, man, knocked it out of the park. You know? Yeah. I mean, you know, doesn't matter what his circumstances are. He was great. You know, he was the evil son of a gun. I was thoroughly entertained.
One of the things we were talking about earlier was that you like grittiness of it. How it was darker than...
Yeah, because, you know, yeah, I can only equate the Batman movie, I guess, I started watching the Batman movies really when Michael Keaton took over the new...
The Tim Burton
version. Yeah. Tim Burton version, that's right. And I started watching them, and it was more animated, not cartoon, sort of... It's more entertaining, more kid-friendly, stuff like that.
It's not kid-friendly.
This is just,
it's gothic surrealism.
It's like drama, man, you know what I mean? It's like drama. It's a freaking good stuff.
Yeah.
It's a movie, you know? It's just filler. It's just a freaking movie. It's a good movie.
Yeah, one of the things I like about it is that... you know, they leave a lot of possibilities in action as far as, you know, real life things go.
Absolutely.
This was just an amazing movie. I mean,
I never heard of the Chinese guy or whatever because I'm not familiar with all that thing, but that was some freaky stuff. I was like, we got to turn this in half. And then I was like, oh! That was cool. And I literally got out of my seat in that bag and hit that window. I was like, the whole fucking theater job was not expecting that. That got me out of like the whole bit. That woke me right up.
Maybe people have not watched it yet. At 3 minutes, it's 1 million. You're going to be quiet. All right, then. So, that's very nice. If you liked it, how many stars did you get?
Four. Only four.
Only four.
You suck. Well, we discussed
that earlier. Yeah.
How the rating system works. You know, each individual person.
I got to put in a... what
buffer?
Do you call it? No, what do you change or something? Segway?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of interesting that Shia LaBeouf, everybody knows most famously from Transformers, is the movie of last year, which is number 19 on an all-time movie list, making $317 million. Well, this weekend, Batman came up to $314 million by U.S. estimates, and they had to pass it tomorrow. Then it made that amount in just 10 days. In regards to
maybe tomorrow,
it just passed the Indiana Jones movie, and tomorrow it will also pass the Iron Man movie for the biggest movie of the year.
Speaking of, it's still playing in theaters. It's still playing in theaters, the Iron Man movie. As a matter of fact, we're at San Francisco today. I did the deal on the marquee. Just so you know, I'm just putting it out there for you. I heard there's a little issue going on there with the
Jeff is turning purple.
That's why I have you. But,
you don't think I would go through her to get to you right now? I love Lisa like she's my sister.
She kicked your ass and you wouldn't get anywhere close to me. That's all
it's true. It's
yeah, I don't know about that. Shit, I
mean. Anyhow.
Anyways, another big opening this weekend was the X-Files. I Want to Believe, a sequel to the...
1997.
Is it
97? Is it 97 or 98? I think it's 97. It's taken them 10 plus years to remake this movie. Or not remake it, but give it a sequel. Yeah, thank you.
What was the first one called?
Fight
the Future.
Fight the Future. Had a thing with bees and conspiracy theories. And it was a bit more patchy. I liked it when it came out. I have never seen it ever again. I only saw it once in the theater.
This is Fight the Future.
Yes. And it kind of takes off from where the TV show ended. Maybe it had, like, maybe in story wise a 3-year gap or so.
Did
you
it
know.
Come out before the show ended?
It may have. I don't know. It's all a blur to me now. I mean, taking it, that's just as bad as, like, you know, the indie movies or whatever. It's going to take you 10 years to come up with some kind of story. Come on, it's X-Files. They came up with stories every week. It's great, you know. Well, to me, if you're a fan of the show, you'll be a fan of this movie.
Okay. So, does it take place 10 years, you know, like Indy 20 years later? So they made it 20 years later. Is this movie?
Yeah, I would say it's maybe got a 10-year gap. But what's the full title of the movie? X-Files, I want to believe.
The X-Files Fight the Future from 98.
Oh, 98. No. We're going to talk about the new one.
2008.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, it was
the new movie is X Files. I want to believe.
Okay. I'm sorry. I'm getting kind of patchy myself.
Now this one is directed by Chris Carter, the creator of the X Files, as opposed to the last one which was by Rob Bowman.
Yeah, this makes a bit more sense.
Right. Still has David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson come back to reprise their roles as Agent FBI
Mulder
agent
and Scully.
Mulder and Dana Scully. But it does take place after the series ended, so. It definitely has time that has passed. A lot of time, actually.
Yeah.
Possibly the whole 10 years.
Oh, possibly, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And all the alien conspiracy and everything that went on in the first movie that had directly to do with the TV show is not in this at all.
So
not even a little bit.
That's cool. So it's almost like just a side story, like a single
standalone
timeline.
Yep. Thing. Yeah. And in fact, I'm watching it. I was thinking to myself, if you never watched the TV show, would you enjoy this? And you would. It was a good movie. Really
that's
good
true.
Movie.
No, that's yeah. that was literally the question I was going to ask because I'm not a big fan of the show. I've seen a few episodes that I enjoyed. You know, some of them were really kind of cool, but I never got into the show. I don't know, you know, the whole big main story arc. So what would be the point of me seeing this movie? You know, is there
the point of you watching this movie is because you want to see a good movie.
Yeah, if you like investigation movies and following the FBI and
the FBI after a serial killer, you know, and it starts off with an FBI agent has gone missing, and they pull in these agents. They're no longer with the FBI, Scully and Mulder, and
so they're both out.
Right.
Forced retirement, the federal government.
Yeah.
Scully is working as a doctor now, a surgeon, and Mulder is still into his conspiracy theories thing, and so they come up to him. He's into all the psychics and the aliens and Bigfoot and all the myths and everything. You know, it's kind of like here in Las Vegas we have George Knapp, the investigative reporter that goes after that stuff because he wants to know what the truth is.
Sure.
You know, Area 51. He's not saying that it's real, but there's something going on that all this cover-up conspiracy, and he wants to uncover it.
Right.
And so the FBI gets in touch with Mulder to help him with his case, or for him to help them with his case.
It also has Billy Connolly in it.
Love Billy Connolly.
That is one of the funniest Scottish Scotsmen I've ever seen. He's had the Rings or Craig Ferguson, though.
Craig Ferguson is hilarious.
Craig Ferguson.
Yeah.
I'm not going
to talk show after that. Letterman. Wow.
Yeah, that's a great show. He's so awesome.
Billy Connolly.
I love Billy Connolly. I'm a huge fan.
Billy Connolly is not funny in this.
I've seen him do drama too. He's great.
Yeah, and you get a present surprise from the past in it too. So.
And actually, Billy Connolly, they saw him in a movie not too long ago. It was a zombie movie where people had zombies as pets. They've been domesticated.
Fido. That's great.
That was okay, but that was good.
It was an interesting twist. You know?
Yeah, that was like interesting. It was a good story, and but it was neither a great movie or a comedy, and so it was like.
I don't want to say dark comedy.
It's very black.
Yeah, it's about propaganda.
I love that.
That undertone. Yeah,
I like it a lot.
Marketing your pet dog. Yeah, I love that.
Maybe that's where it went, because at least I had this discussion off the air a couple weeks ago about black comedies that I am really not a fan of. I used the word that I thought I did like black comedies, but I think it was just comedies that are vulgar or gross or just off kilter, as opposed to black comedies, which by that definition, I mean, Fido would be one of them. Death Becomes Her is another one. War of the Roses is another one. I don't care for any of those movies very much. Hardly at all.
War of the Roses is considered a black comedy?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
No. Not a black comedy like Fridays or...
Right.
Barbershop.
I didn't think we were talking about the literal color black. I don't know. I just never looked at War of the Roses being a black comedy, but...
Oh, Jesus.
We're talking about the genre.
Right.
The black comedy is a comedy. It's still a funny movie, but there are darker subjects, darker
overtones. That's what I'm saying. That's why it's, I don't think War of the Roses fit that. Sure, but okay, I can live with that.
Sure it is. It's, you know, it's pretty brutal. They start, they kill each other in the end.
Yeah.
You know?
I hear you.
So that's what I'm saying, you know?
However, X-Files does have some funny moments. And is it worth seeing, whether you're a fan of the show or not? This is a good, solid movie. Apparently not a lot of people went to want to go to the theater to see it. It was only about $10 million this week, which Pete was right. He told me that the X-Files was going to get stomped by Step Brothers,
right.
And it did. It really did. I thought each of them could do about $40 million. Batman, I underestimated the popularity of Batman. It really took with that $75 million or so. It
doubled from last week.
Well, like I said, I think I said it in the previous podcast that, you know, there was all this hype and everything like that, but even if there wasn't this hype, it would still do it, and people would see it, and there'd be word of mouth. And I believe there still is word of mouth. People that were hyped up and went and saw this are telling their friends that might not have, this is a great movie, you got to see this.
All the other blockbusters of recent memory, whether it's Transformers, Spider-Man 3, Pirates of the Caribbean 3, Shrek 3, they all had drop-offs of 60% or more after the first week. Batman only 52%.
Exactly.
You know, I'm not so sure that by this time next week you might not see it hit $400 million. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Well, it's that good.
Right. It is still that packed, because I saw it yesterday, and I was like, you know, sitting in the front row. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Not where I wanted to be either.
It's repeat viewing good.
When you first saw it?
Cause yeah. It was, you were in the front. I'm going to go see it right now.
Lisa and I.
Just yesterday, like I said, and here it is, what was yesterday?
Keys.
Saturday. Now, granted, it was a Saturday, okay, but midday. And I get in there a good 5 minutes before the trailer started. I mean, it was packed.
Was your second time seeing it?
First.
What would you say the percentage of age brackets were watching this film?
Oh,
it was all over the board, wasn't it?
Right.
Like mom and dad.
Yeah. People that wouldn't see a superhero movie are hearing such things about this, they're going, I gotta see this.
Our mother and father went and saw Batman in the movie theater, no less.
I know.
I never thought they'd see a Batman movie in their lives. If, you know, they were in prison and they put it on their freaking flat screen in their 10x10 cell, and that was the only thing they'll watch, I didn't think they would watch it.
Yeah.
But here they went to the movie theaters, which they rarely ever do. So that's saying something, if you ask me, you know? Wow.
Yep.
They loved it.
I fell over.
It blows me over.
Yeah.
It could have been the whole, with my parents, it could have been the whole Heath Ledger thing, too. They're one of the motivating factors for them going.
Yeah, they like to prove if you're a liar or not.
The whole Heath Ledger thing. Let's go see what all the hubbub is about, which is still out of character for them. But, you know, hey, I'm glad they went on. I'm glad they liked it.
Yeah.
And one other thing about the X-Files is that the people that, I mean, the stars, Gillian Anderson and David Duchovny, they don't make a lot of movies. And... to be sure, Gillian Anderson doesn't even make movies that are even a little bit popular, aside from The Last King of Scotland. She was in that.
She makes Canadian
about
movies.
About 5 minutes.
She was in it?
Yeah. Early.
I don't even remember.
Yeah.
Cock and Bull Story, which is kind of like a cult hit. She was in that.
Right.
Boogie Woogie is a movie she has coming out about the Spanish Civil War, most notably about Martha Gellhorn, who was married to Ernest Hemingway. So these little independent movies she did. So it's nice to see her in a big-time movie role, and hopefully it sparks her career if she wants it sparked.
Yeah, you know, apparently she's not hurting for money.
She could probably...
No, the X-Files syndication.
She's taking on those nothing
roles.
And yeah.
Chris Carter, the creator of the X-Files, has another movie coming out, because he hasn't done anything besides X-Files. Have recently produced some things. Fence Walkers is a movie that's kind of intriguing title, be coming out. Nothing really is known about that. And David Duchovny, I watch pretty much everything that he's in because I really enjoy watching him.
Well, he does. He's been keeping himself pretty busy.
Yeah, well, he has a TV show, Californication.
Right.
And that's a pretty reasonable hit. I don't watch TV, so I haven't seen that. But House of D is a movie, a little independent movie that he did.
Wasn't that his directorial debut?
Yeah,
or
I think he directed that.
I know he directed. I don't know if it was his debut.
That was pretty good.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. He does dog food commercials for Beneful, too.
Really?
Yeah, that's quite enjoyable. Yeah. You watch him, and he'll a dog will come on screen, and it'll be a little jumping dog, and he'll be like, feed me, and you would give the best for your dog, wouldn't you? And it's David Duchovny.
Wow.
Apparently he is hurting for money.
Nah, I think he just likes dogs, and he's doing whatever the hell he wants to
do. Might appreciate their product. Who knows?
Yeah. Yes. They're like, but, well, you're going to give me free dog food for my 20 dogs that are on my ranch here? Yeah.
Isn't it amazing, though, to see? I mean, I guess the X-Files was a successful show. How many years of that run, do you know?
Like 7?
10 years.
Yeah.
10 years?
7 okay, years. So that's 95 to 2002.
Show. Okay, yeah. So yeah. It's amazing, and it's hard to understand sometimes why the majority of the main actors in these shows that go on for so long don't really, for whatever reason, materialize in anything huge, you know? I mean, you have to look no further than, say, the Seinfeld cast, right? Who has become a huge movie star from that? You know? You got Jason Alexander has his, you know, little parts here and there. Julia Dreyfus is now in some, that show, the Christine show.
Right.
That, but before that, she wasn't in nothing, you know? And then, geez, Kramer, man, he's having some serious issues going on. Yeah, and then, you know, Seinfeld has a stand-up career, which, you know, he's really focusing on, but... Wow, you know,
and B-movie,
don't forget B-movie.
They may still be B-movie. Cashing okay, checks for Seinfeld.
But look at Friends. How many of those people, what was there, like six of them? The cast on that show?
Mm-hmm.
And who's become big? Oh, Matthew Perry is Jennifer Aniston, I guess. Yeah, she's
Jennifer Matthew Perry. Is definitely the biggest.
Courtney Cox has had her like spots here and there, but she never really hit, you know what I mean? Like pay dirt or anything.
Dude, she did the Scream movies.
Yeah, whatever. Like she wasn't even.
No, he's saying after Friends.
Yeah, yeah, but she has like a syndication show for, or she did, I'm not sure if she still does, her and her husband about like house decorating crap or whatever.
Yeah, like I was saying, Scream Memory took off. Schwimmer, again, not really a big movie star, you know?
No, but he did just direct Run, Fat Boy, Run, which was not a hit at all, but he's working.
It was cute. Yeah, that was a cute movie.
I mean, who would you think? You thought Matt LeBlanc would have had, but he's had a couple of good movies, but not really any huge blockbusters or anything. You know, never really turned anything huge like you would have thought. Well, this guy, Matthew Perry, is probably the biggest star from the show, and he...
No.
Jennifer Aniston.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right. Jennifer Aniston is definitely
more successful. Well, don't forget Lisa Kudrow, because she's in movies all the time.
Lisa
Kudrow
does stuff. She's very small parts here and there. I mean, most people, she was in Analyze This, Analyze That. Very
small part. She's in that P.S. I Love You.
Oh, my God, she was great. She's in all kinds. And she had her own TV show.
That wasn't that big.
I did pretty good.
HBO
show?
Was
a great
that
movie.
Was a good
more
show,
importantly,
wasn't it, Jeff?
It was a great movie.
It was a good movie. I'm just saying, you know, I'm talking about stardom, something like, oh, man, you know, these people just break out in their careers.
You know, I think that what happens with TV actors is that you're comfortable with cashing a paycheck, so you're going to take whatever safe role you can to cash your paycheck. I mean, look at Shatner. Come on. You know? Travelocity.com or whatever the fuck it is he does.
Amen. You got to get paid.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. You don't knock Shatner.
Hey, man. It's true. Hey, cheesy and everything like that. Shatner's still in
there. The thing is that the paycheck is definitely a motivating factor. If you got a paycheck and you just sat at home, would you go to work? Would you go try to work somewhere?
Me personally, no, because I'm lazy.
You're not on the phone. And when you're collecting these multi-million-dollar year paychecks for syndication, you're just sitting at home. You've done the work years and years ago, such as those people on Friends. I mean, they were getting $1 million in episodes the last season.
Right.
Two.
You don't
have motivation to work.
You do. You got the ego. All these people have the ego. You know, it's got to make more. It's never enough. You know, I'm just surprised that they haven't become big. We started a lot of these people because they all have the potential.
And we were talking with David Duchovny because I thought he was going to go somewhere. Well, he did write and direct that House of D.
Okay.
Well, I'm just saying his pet project.
Hey, Pete, I think you'd like it. Have you seen it?
No, I'm just talking. Never mind if I like it or not. I'm trying to speak objectively from the point of he hasn't materialized like anything huge and like, you know.
No, but when you're collecting money,
you know what I mean?
You can do your pet projects like Duchovny did House of D. Gillian Anderson does these little independent movies.
You just do it for the love of the work.
You want to do work that you want to do.
Exactly.
When you get big enough, I think of even directors get to be that. Steven Spielberg, he says for every Jurassic Park they give him, he gets to do a Schindler's List.
Exactly.
Well, like Schindler's List was so many off.
But it doesn't matter whether you watch it or not. That's a pet project of his that he wants to do. That he wants to do.
But you gotta, you can't not acknowledge the fact that he's taking a chance. Fortunately, yes, Schindler's List was a hit and everything like that, and got a lot of accolades. But it's a very unpopular subject.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, and he's taking a major chance making a movie like that, but he's making it for more than money. He's making it for more than accolades. He's making it for himself.
Well, most of the movies he makes are very unpopular subjects, and they turn out to be blockbusters and cutting edge stuff. Well,
he's not afraid to take the chance to throw something out there and educate all of us on putting us there in that spot. Because for a lot of us, you know, there's people that won't take
the time to
read a story for a week. You know, some people are slow readers, some people don't have time. You know, so some of these movies that are made out of books or whatever. And he'll take something that he's worked on for a few years, it turns into a 2.5-hour subject, and boom, you knock it out, and you feel like a different person when you left the theater. That's a great thing.
Sure. Yeah. He did that War of the Worlds and then Munich the same year.
Yeah.
Munich was really good.
Munich, another one of those.
Yeah.
You know, controversial, you know.
Yeah, it's like, damn.
I don't get it wrong. I talk to him. I love that. I love someone who ain't afraid of the criticism, isn't afraid to take people by the horn and say, hey, I'm making this movie, you know. Lay it on, you know.
So Walt, what did you think of X-Files?
I thought it was really good.
How many stars?
I would give it 4 stars. Solid 4 stars.
Well, wow, that's really good. I would give it 3.5 to about 3.5. About 3. Yeah. Okay, no half for all you people out there. Give it a 3. I liked it. I liked it better than the first X-Files movie. And it was interesting seeing the characters in a more complex manner. More mature, complex manner.
Cool. All right.
I want to have a transition music or sound. For example, in Batman, you know, they have the thing, that thing spinning around, you know, from the TV show,
yeah.
And they go to the next scene.
Yeah. Like Wayne's World.
Wayne's World for the dream sequences.
Excellent.
Kill Bill on the soundtrack, at least, they have that sword thing. You know, something. So if you guys can think of any sound to put in there, besides are you
Beethoven? Dun 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 dun.
Are you deaf or just stupid?
Are you deaf or just stupid?
Hey, you can do a sound bite. That's a good.
That's the listeners, what they're.
You know, you can do a sound bite for a previous show and use that as a breakthrough. You know, that'd be pretty funny. Are you guys deaf or just stupid?
Now we're switching modes right here, but we would like to have some kind of transition sound or music, and we're going to leave it up to you, the listeners, to provide us with that. Send us an MP3. Send it to our email address, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. If you have a sound bit or clip or something that you think would make a good transition. Right now we're going from the X-Files, going to talk about Step Brothers, and we're done talking about the X-Files. Boom! There would be the sound that would bring us into the next step.
That's right.
The next movie.
Yeah, so give us some ideas, because we can't come up with any on our own.
So,
okay, so the Step Brothers, or Step Brothers. Pete, you went to see this movie?
I did.
The latest Will Ferrell comedy, also starring, I was going to say Charles Nelson Reilly.
the Charles Nelson Reilly for this generation, the great John C. Reilly.
John C. Reilly?
I don't see the comparison.
I don't either, but... Who cares?
I've been a John C. Reilly fan since Magnolia.
Directed by Adam McKay, who is Will Ferrell's very good friend. They worked together at Saturday Night Live. He wrote so many stuff. Same writer, director of Talladega Nights, and he also wrote Anchorman.
Love me some Anchorman.
I noticed, yeah, there's a lot of there's cameos from people who are in. It's just funny how movies, people just come full circle. You see people popping up in movies like, man, that guy's in that with him in that other movie. It's all, you know.
Will Ferrell and Adam McKay, they're good friends that work together. They started that website, funnyordie.com.
Which featured the viral video, The Landlord.
That was by viral video. Does that mean like disgusting and boring?
No, it means viral means a lot of people saw it.
Oh, a lot of people saw it and a lot of people were disappointed.
Really?
A lot of people actually
have you seen it?
I'm
going to have
boring.
To go see it after this.
See what?
Yeah, well, it's hilarious.
Guess we'll be educated.
Listen, I'll put a link up to it on the website. And everybody who likes it, dislike it, email us, podcast@thecinemaniacs.com, and let us know what you think. Because I thought it was just boring. Way overhyped. And certainly now here we're even bringing it up anymore. But
all right,
true. Yeah, this is true. We are kind of behind the time.
Let's keep it rolling.
Anyhow, back to the Step Brothers.
Pete?
You have the floor, dude.
It's all you,
nobody
buddy.
Nobody else has seen this with me, huh?
You're the only one.
Well, you didn't invite us to the movie today.
No, didn't give us no phone calls. Hey,
all right, so being a casual Will Ferrell fan, because to date, old school, man, he was just awesome in that.
Because you're like,
I went to this
ass
movie, you know, just based on pretty much the trailers, you know, figuring out what it might be about and how funny it may be. And it definitely delivered, in my opinion, man. I was rolling the whole time.
How were the parents in this
funny movie?
They played straight pretty well.
Yeah, you know, both famous
Burchin?
Actors, and I can't remember their names. Is that
Mary Steenburgen?
Is that how you pronounce that?
Yeah. What's tripping me out is that Mary Steenburgen is old enough to be playing either Will Ferrell or John C. Reilly's mother.
Yeah.
That really
still looks great, though.
That I know.
She
looks great.
She must be in her 50s, and she looks
fantastic. Dude, she must be in her 60s,
and
she looks great.
She's got a little sexiness to her, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that really freaks my being about that. Yeah.
Who's the dad? What's the actor's name?
Some guy.
He's been in a bunch of stuff. He's been everybody's dad.
Keanu
Reeves' dad.
Yeah.
Because he's been in a ton of movies.
He's been everywhere.
So, I mean, I think everybody knows,
We should bring up his name. We should bring up his name. There are all these character actors that we know of and we love and we appreciate. We should totally be bringing up their names.
Is it Wine Mixer Heckler, Blind Man? I don't know if they have his name.
Look up Bill and Ted. I think he was Bill and Ted's dad.
Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure.
Is that right?
He was Ted's dad.
He was Ted's dad, exactly. He's been in a bunch of movies. He was in one of the best.
Going to send him off to military camp.
One of the coolest things I've ever seen.
IMDb should have him listed
as
one of the top four people.
Was a direct to HBO movie. It was an HBO movie with Dennis Hopper. Dennis Hopper was a pilot who helped the CIA bust some drug smugglers in Colombia.
Oh.
And in a sting that went bad, and he ended up dying or whatever. But this guy was one of the FBI agents.
Cool!
It was a good movie, and he was really good in it. He was also in.
He's been in a ton of movies.
Yeah, he's like I said. We should definitely mention his name because he's one of those character actors. You know his face, and you're like, I know. You know, I've seen this guy in every movie ever made, and you know, I can never think of his name. We should give shouts out to that. We should be doing that. You know,
would he be Mr. Preston?
I think so.
Preston Esquire, no.
Oh, then that would be Bill.
To bring up his photo?
Ted Theodore Logan.
Yeah.
So, Mr. Logan.
Are you kidding?
You have never seen Bill and Ted?
I saw it once, but it was a long time ago.
Anyway,
I think you were cranial above that, then. You don't get that.
No, I didn't get it.
Yeah.
Only the person I remember from the
Only
movie.
Stoner!
George
get
Carlin, the late, great George Carlin.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Well, I remember Keanu Reeves in it.
He was
Man Crush?
He was one of the Bill or Ted, right?
Yeah. Totally.
Such a burn. He plays a good burnout.
Did he play Captain Logan?
That's him.
Hal Landon Jr.
Jr.
Thank you. Yeah, he's great. I love that guy.
He's been in so many movies. He was, just list off a bunch.
You know him when you see him because you're like, hey, there's that guy.
Yeah, he's great.
You know, and he always plays like the perfect dad or, you know, police guy or... Mm-hmm. Something. He's great. And Mary, she's cool too.
Yeah, she's... I like there's the hot... Sometimes she's like... Really gets into the sexy role. And then
you know, that's Ted
Danson's
wife.
Yeah.
They're married.
Yeah. Are you serious?
He's knocking that
for a long time.
Wow.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape?
I loved her in that.
Right?
Yeah.
She was in that?
She was all like, was come on, Gilbert. Deliver my groceries.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
Man, I can't even remember. Well, that was a good movie.
And when he stopped delivering her groceries, she got pissed.
That was a really good movie.
She was not happy.
Yeah. You don't want to stop the 40-year-old's groceries.
What's Eating Gilbert Grape? Was that not DiCaprio playing a mentally
autistic?
Oh, man. That
brilliant.
That was some acting.
He was nominated. I think they nominated him for that.
Yeah.
But, you know, he hadn't earned his bones yet. But just with that performance alone, my God.
Yeah, the Departed
made me a fan.
The Departed was not nearly as impressive, nor was that the airplane movie. If anyway. Movie that he was in.
Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can.
Catch Me If You Can. That's the best movie ever.
He just said that The Departed was not all that.
No. Ugh. I said he wasn't nearly as good
as Gilbert Grape.
The acting role.
Oh no, he was great in The Departed.
Gilbert Grape was.
He shows a whole lot of other different kind of
I'm
role,
just saying,
different
from
maturity.
Acting standpoint, out took success.
Nah.
Gilbert Grape was a better actor than in The Departed.
Yes, definitely. It's a much harder role to play.
Both Oscar nominated performances.
Definitely.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I think it's
no,
wrong
he was nominated for The Departed. He was nominated for Blood Diamond that year.
Right.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Wait, which is, you know, I wish that he would have gotten... who was he up against when Gilbert Grape came out? Shoot, man, that's what we need to find out.
Johnny Depp.
he was great in that movie.
Oh, yeah.
I know, and Walt can attest to this. I was not a DiCaprio fan when, I guess it was The Aviator. Which one was the one he was his breakout role?
Titanic, dude.
Okay, Titanic was it. And I said, pretty much anybody could play that role. I don't think that was great acting. And you can put a lot of actors in that spot and did just as good. But, man, when I saw that Gilbert Grape movie, I was blown away.
Did you see Gilbert Grape after Titanic?
Yes.
Oh, that's a shame.
I was blown away. Yeah. That was...
That's prolific
that
right
there.
That
was fantastic.
You're watching history.
And not everyone can play a good, mentally challenged or whatever
autistic.
Role.
Autistic.
Okay, autistic. That's a mental thing. I mean, like...
You know you want to say retard. Just say retard.
I'm trying to
no.
You want to say retard.
It's different. It's different. It's about your brain mechanics. It's just different.
But you know what I mean.
We're talking about Pete here. We know he wants to say retard.
Oh, yeah.
That year for Gilbert Grape, he went up against, he lost to Tommy Lee Jones in The Fugitive.
Yep.
And then they had John Malkovich in The Line of Fire, Pete Postlewaite for In the Name of the Fire, and Ray Fiennes in Schindler's List.
Wow, Ray Fiennes lost, too. That's amazing.
Wow, he was frightening in Schindler's List.
Yeah, he was.
He was frightening.
But Tommy Lee Jones was freaking good in that movie.
Yeah, I don't know.
He was awesome.
I think what it was is they figured, okay, DiCaprio, he's just young.
Best line in that movie?
That's unfortunate.
He did a Peter Pan right off this here dam.
That was a great line.
That's a line, man.
That was great. That is true.
I'll never forget it.
I don't know if you heard it a few episodes back, Pete, that we were talking about Tommy Lee Jones in that movie. The name's escaping me.
Valley of Ella.
I still got to see
In the Valley of Ella.
It looks really powerful.
That was a good movie. Was
it? It's really powerful. Yeah. Oh, I love Tommy. I'll see anything Tommy. He's one of my favorite actors. I'm on top 10. Easy.
Oh, definitely. 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 So now we have Will Ferrell in an Oscar-nominated performance. Step Brothers?
Yeah, right? It depends if we're only nominating comedies, then sure, absolutely. No, him and John C. Reilly, what can I say? Will Ferrell's always been hit and miss for me, personally.
I agree 100%.
Sometimes he's really great, sometimes like, man, it's just a bad movie. You know, what was it, Kicking and Screaming?
I'm a huge fan of that movie, Sucked.
Talladega Nights, excuse me. Was when he and John C. Reilly teamed up last, was it not?
Yes.
And it was hilarious. Now, granted.
Shake and bite.
Right? That just happened. now, granted, that Sacha Baron Cohen brought something to the table and made the movie just that much better, Talladega Nights. But, like you said, after Old School, he really didn't do much. Well, no, I guess Ron Burgundy was pretty good. Yeah. But
Ron Burgundy had his moments, but it was a lot due to Steve Carell.
Christina Applegate.
Very true.
She was great in that movie.
Everybody in that movie was awesome.
That's true. I mean, you had cameos. Vince Vaughn showing up.
Luke Wilson. Luke Wilson showed up. And I loved Will Ferrell and Ron Burgundy. I loved that entire movie. I could quote that.
Ben Stiller had a cameo.
Oh, yeah. That was a very well done compilation of actors.
Can I just say, though, the funniest scene in that movie when Jack Black kicked that dog over the freaking bridge?
That was probably the best
part of the movie.
That's the best scene in that movie.
Aside from that, the funniest part was the chocolate squirrel. That was the funniest part.
Oh, no. The absolute funniest part was them describing, the people in the office describing the Sex Panther smell.
Oh, I love that scene. Sex Panther, yeah.
It smells like Indian food.
That's
smells
like dick.
Sandler was his cologne that he wore.
That's right. 40% or was it 60% of the time, it works every time. Paul Rudd. That's another one. Paul Rudd is in that movie.
That's true.
That's just that big porno mustache you have.
The other thing I love about that movie is just the 70s-ness of it, man. Because... I mean, if you remember, Ron Burgundy looks just like an anchor that used to be here in Vegas. Remember that guy? I can't think of his name. He looks just like that guy. When we had that guy here in Vegas, man. And it was
during the mafia trials. Oh, shit, yeah.
This guy, Steve Carell, did run away with that movie. I don't know what we're yelling about. Loud noises. I want to go home and watch that movie right now.
Oh, God, I'm fired up, man. I want to watch it right now.
Got it on Blu-ray.
That's great.
No, but okay, so you have John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell are these two guys. These two loser late 30s guys who still live at home with their mother and father, respectively. Spoiled rotten by their parents. That's why they never bother to leave the home. You know, there's a failure to launch going on there. Well, then Steenburgen?
Mary, just call her
Mary, and then the older, the dad.
The mom and the dad
end up. They end up, you know, getting married or whatnot. And of course, you know, these
Will like
Ferrell
a...
and John C. Reilly become stepbrothers, you know, through the virtue of marriage. And obviously, right away, because they're both, you know, just stuck a little spoiled rats in their own right, or just giving them the evil, each other the evil eye, you know.
And the hilarity ensues.
And the hilarity is absolutely scene after scene after scene. Until they finally, you know, realize, hey, you know, we're so much alike, you know?
I love those scenes in the trailer where it's like, which guy would you make out with if you liked a guy? And John Stamos goes, oh, my God!
Dude, we should become best friends!
Yeah, I love that! Yeah, that was... Dudes all get ready to bounce on
now, them. I got to ask you, with most comedies, and especially lowbrow comedies and everything like that, and we see that all the time, even in not comedy movies, that you end up seeing all the best stuff. In the trailer.
There's one trailer in particular that you see, which is absolutely fall on the floor laughing
it's
your butt off.
Great. He's burying it.
But I gotta tell you, there is a scene that I won't even blow for you guys that I don't remember the next 10 minutes of the movie after this scene, because I was still on the floor, tears, stomach hurting. And you know, no one talking about when you see it. That's all I'm going to say.
There was scenes like that that I was rolling on the floor laughing. My stomach hurts so hard.
I love that movie. Called Big
Night. I would go see Step Brothers again. Let's put it that way.
Oh!
I would. Okay. That's saying something.
That endorses something.
Okay. I would go see it again.
In the theater. You pay that ticket price one more time.
Let's see that funny.
Cool. What's the final word?
I'm usually hard on comedies and everything because, you know, the other kid has some corniness to it. So I'll go 4 stars on that.
Wow.
It might be a movie in the future that I may be able to watch over and over again. Right now, I will go see it again because I might have missed something. Because, like I said, I missed him, that movie on the floor. So, but I give a solid 4 stars easy for that movie.
Wow.
Great.
I would definitely recommend that movie. Oh, man, if you're in the mood to be entertained and to get a good laugh, I can't think of a better movie out there right now to watch. I'll be honest with you.
Right on.
Oh, very good. Very strong. And
we guess we know what we're doing tomorrow.
And we haven't had a comedy come out in the theaters in a while. This is, you know, big release comedy. So that's good that there's one out there.
Comedies are tough, you know. I mean, sometimes parts are good, but then, you know, the rest of it's kind of working up to the next part. But, man, once in a while that movie comes along, it's just... scene after scene, you just can't wait. You know
it's hard
scene.
When like your 12-year-old kid is looking at the preview going, I want to see that movie because it looks funny. And you're like, tongue-in-cheek.
So that's the next question. Is it a 12-year-old movie?
No, it really is.
No?
No. I mean, just based on all, there's a lot. What surprised me the most about the movie is how much foul language they use in that movie. I was actually shocked.
Do you see boobies?
Like, wow, man. No, I don't think no boobies, no.
Do you see penis?
Yeah.
I mean,
because I'm not going to say anything. Yes,
there is. He's telling it. He just told us that's the part he didn't want to talk about.
I'm not going to say there's. I will tell you that there is. There is some scenes that are. All I'll say is are inappropriate for young children. That's all I can say about that.
So, Step Brothers, the movie to see.
If you want to laugh. Yes.
The comedy to see.
If you want to laugh.
Okay.
All right. Another comedy you guys watch Well, I'm told it's a comedy. Darjeeling Limited.
The Darjeeling Limited, directed by Wes Anderson, who gave us such movies as The Royal Tenenbaums and The Life Aquatic with Steve Zissou. Now, go ahead.
Before you go, because you mentioned Wes Anderson, of course, and those are two of his movies. He also did Rushmore.
Yep.
And Rushmore, Royal Tenenbaums. Wasn't there another one in there? Oh, Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket, yes.
I like Bottle Rocket. It's not a comedy.
Yeah.
But I didn't care for Rushmore. I didn't care for Royal Tenenbaums, especially so.
Loved the Royal Tenenbaums.
I know a lot of people love it. I don't know why. I watched it.
Darjeeling is not a comedy.
Oh. Steve Zissou, I think, is a comedy, and I laughed several times in it, and the music is great. I downloaded the soundtrack.
He always has such great music in his movies. He always does. There's always a really cool Rolling Stones song that you know maybe have heard or never heard. And it's like, wow, that's really cool.
No. This was like music made on the keyboard. Like somebody just fiddled with the keyboard for a while. You know, I'm a keyboard. I like synthesizers and stuff.
Yeah, but I love the soundtracks he puts together. He always finds some really neat songs. So saying that, if you're not a fan of these movies, you might not. But man, for those of us that are. Once again, there's more of the same to enjoy. These, you know, really colorful, wonderfully, you know, well, let's get, okay. Basically, the Darjeeling Limited is a train. It's a train that goes through India. And you have Adrian Brody, Jason Schwartzman, and
Owen Wilson.
Owen Wilson, thank you. I'm drawing a blank on him because of Jobert Taylor.
Right.
Now, I have a hard time associating him with a good movie because he makes so many crappy movies nowadays.
Did you watch Jobert Taylor?
No.
Oh. But you said it was bad.
It looks bad. The only thing cool about it is the title. I love the title, but it looks really bad. Anyway.
But he's been in, I think, every one of
Wes Anderson's
movies. Well, they're best friends.
Absolutely.
And his brother, Luke Wilson, grew up together.
He really knows how to direct Owen Wilson, because he always gets such good stuff out of him.
Again, having been so disappointed with Royal Tenenbaums and Rushmore, I have to disagree.
I just don't understand that with you. I love these movies, and they crack me up. And
maybe I have to go back and watch them, because that Steve Zissou, that clicked with me. Yeah. And I did.
And I love that movie, too. As I was saying, I love all. It's just like, wow, it's so great. So, it's a lot more of the same. But basically, these three brothers are deciding they're going to go on a spiritual journey. Apparently, they're not very close, haven't been close since their dad died, and they're trying to kind of come.
They're three brothers.
Three brothers, yeah. They're trying to come to, you know, Owen Wilson is the oldest, I assume, and he's the one that wants to bring them together. Apparently, he's a man of means, and he's got this whole itinerary planned out, and of course, nothing ever really goes right, and this train is full of colorful characters and everything like that. And it's I loved it. I love the way it was filmed. He always uses such colorful set pieces, you know, and the way he films everything. I love, and the music, which we talked about. I love the music.
The weird funky indie music that he did, because they're in India. He did some funky Indian music. It's very weird.
It was great Indian music.
Like psychedelic type stuff.
Oh yeah, this is really cool. It did feel. It really did have that feel, you know. I like this movie quite a bit. It's really hard to describe. It's another one of those movies that kind of, you know, you can give the little bits of plot points, but then just all these strange things happen. They meet these people, and they just, you know, this journey is a bit more literal than some of the other journeys that he takes people on. But, you know, because literally there's an itinerary and a track they're following, you know. But and even, you know what, the funniest part is even the train, man, you know, there's a scene where the train gets lost. How does a train get lost? It's on tracks. They even mention this, and you're just like, that's awesome.
Wow.
He gets lost on a train that's on tracks. It's on rails, for God's sake. I love that, you know?
It could have been a movie. It's about nothing, you know?
Right.
These three brothers are going to see their mom that they haven't seen in a billion years. She's in some monastery in some mountain in India that's going to take like 6 days to get there or something.
Yeah, and while they're traveling there, they're going to try and reconnect as brothers.
Yeah, and just weird events. Very weird movie. It's got me acquired taste. Just a fan.
Well, again, with the acquired taste, what about Wes Anderson's other movies? Bottle Rocket, Rushmore?
Bottle Rocket was entertaining. I enjoyed that movie. The Tenenbaums, all the weird. It's kind of a strange movie. I got it, and I enjoyed it for the most part. But,
Rushmore?
Never saw Rushmore.
Oh, well, you're lucky.
Can't speak on Rushmore.
love Rushmore.
The Steve Zissou, is it?
Zissou.
That was a pretty good movie, right?
Yeah, I loved it.
You know, I mean, Jesus. got Bill Murray in it, you know, you're going to chuckle or something.
Yeah.
But the Darjeeling, oh, man. It's you know, the Redbox kiosk would not give me my money back when I asked for it. But
wow. Oh, please.
It was.
You had to rent it on Monday.
You slept through half the movie.
I watched it in full in entirety the next day, and there's 2 hours of my life I'm never going to get back. It was three
if you watched a half of it the other day.
Yeah.
Well, it was a short movie.
You know, I had so much promise for it because, you know, you saw how excited I was when I had it. Hey, I got this, whatever. Funny. I look forward to it because it got the star of Adrian Brody Oscar winner. You got Owen Wilson, who's a perennial funny guy. Not really big on the Schwartzman guy, but...
Well, you know what? I looked up Schwartzman before we started the show because I've heard the name before and I couldn't remember anything he's in. He's been in several of my five-star movies.
Is that right?
Shop Girl, the Steve Martin movie.
Yep.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah, that was a great movie.
I Heart Huckabees. Love that fantastically.
Okay, I remember. I saw that, but I don't remember much.
Spun. Movie. Yeah. He's in all those movies, and I love those.
Trying
movies.
To think of
love.
He played that was a pretty good movie though. Yeah.
He was the guy that tied the chick to the bed and went out and had the adventures. Man, he was great.
Exactly. Oh.
Unfortunately, he was also in Rushmore and that Dewey Cox story.
So. Yeah, well, he had a very small part.
I have no interest in seeing the Dewey Cox story.
He was in one of the. He was one of the Beatles in Dewey Cox.
One of the Beatles. Yeah.
But man,
I love this movie.
Jeff loved it. I had 2 stars, man, all the way.
2 stars.
The reason why I didn't get 1 star is because...
It ended so fast for me. I was like, I can't believe it's already over. This is, I wanted it to go on more.
And I watched it the next day, and I wanted to get it.
Oh, it's 5.
Wow.
Love this movie.
It's definitely an acquired taste.
I love it almost as much as I love the Royal Tenenbaums. Royal Tenenbaums, I couldn't even rate.
Because there was not much of a point to this movie, I can tell you.
Oh, no, there was a lot of points.
It was dribble. It really was. The whole movie, like, what the heck? That part, that doesn't make any sense. What's going on there? That doesn't make any sense. I tell you. It was not a typical Owen Wilson, that's for sure.
Well, no, it's not typical Owen Wilson. Typical Owen Wilson now is Night at the Museum, for Christ's
sake. Well, I'm saying it wasn't funny.
Typical Owen, I mean, and that's literally typical, because, like, I mean, how many of those damn Jackie Chan westerns did he make?
Oh, we don't count those. Those are some bad Owen Wilson movies.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. No. When you think Owen Wilson, you think Wedding Crashers and Meet the Parents, you know, even Meet the Fockers.
Yeah,
Night at the Museum. That's good Owen Wilson stuff.
Good Owen Wilson.
I also think, what the hell was it that... The one where he lives with Matt Dillon and
I thought he was funny in that movie. Awful. What the heck was the name of the movie?
What was that movie? Where
Kate Hudson.
Oh, You, Me, Dupree.
You, Me, and Dupree. That was it.
That's what you think of when you think of Owen Wilson?
Lately, yes. I used to think of him in these really great little small independent. I used to think of him doing these really great performances in some of these smaller and more interesting movies. And now it's like, I don't know. So it was really neat to see him. Once again, playing an interesting character. You know, I loved it.
We have a huge difference there. Wow. Like I said, the only reason
you
I didn't give it one star.
I don't even think of Owen Wilson. I mean, I don't even think of that movie. I've never even seen it. It could be good, but...
I try not to.
You know,
it really sucked.
The only reason
I forgive him for doing the Jackie Chan movies, those Shanghai Noon and Nights crap, but... No, when I think of him, I think of his other Wedding Crashers, of course. You know,
But see, he wasn't even the best part of Wedding Crashers. Vince Vaughn was the best part of Wedding Crashers.
True. I'll give you that.
He was adequate at best in Wedding Crashers.
No, but I'm thinking of movies that he was in that were good movies.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, like I said, I think of him, you know, movies that were good. The first one I think is, literally the very first one I think is Bottle Rocket, because that's the one that introduced me to him.
Right.
Loved it. And number two, right up there. And the only reason it's number two is because Bottle Rocket introduced me, Royal Tenenbaums. Sorry, it's just one of my favorite movies ever.
The only reason that movie didn't get a one was because I sat through it and I didn't walk out of that stupid movie.
This one here?
Yeah. The only time I ever think I heard a movie was a one was when I couldn't take it anymore. I had to turn it off. I couldn't take it anymore. And that was Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas. Oh, dear God.
Fear and Loathing
in Las Vegas. I am a huge Johnny Depp fan. I am huge. And I couldn't take it anymore. My brain was about to explode. I was like, I can't take this. This is horrible.
And then, of course, Adrian Brody, Oscar-nominated winner.
Yep.
Did he win?
Oscar winner.
Did he win? Yeah, he did.
Pianist.
Yeah. And
John went and saw it because he thought it was the penis. Anyway.
Him and his penis.
No, but he's just always does great movies. King Kong, even I loved The Village, and
even The Jacket was
Ventriloquist.
Mm-hmm.
The Jacket was great.
That was entertaining.
He was good. You know what? He was really good in this too. He's very strange part. I mean, these three brothers got issues. You know.
Was it Brody the one in that movie Dummy? Where the ventriloquist?
Yeah, that's why I said ventriloquist, but it's called Dummy.
Okay, right. That was such a great movie too.
I haven't seen it, but I've been wanting to see that.
Yeah,
it's kind of off the wall movie.
Well, you would love it because the DVD it's like introduced by
Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham.
Yeah. Jeff Dunham, the greatest ventriloquist of all time.
Okay.
And then that other movie that we just recently saw and loved, with the where he had the sex doll.
Real Girl?
That wasn't him?
No,
that was
Ryan Gosling was in Lars and the Real Girl.
Oh, Ryan Gosling. That's what I couldn't find on here.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah.
But, love this movie. Yeah, you should, I mean, don't listen to your brother. He's an idiot. Check it out.
Well, you either listen to one or the other. You're not going to fall somewhere in the middle. He's got a five. I got two. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Right. Steve Zissou, I liked. So, maybe at my older age, I'm getting Wes Anderson's comedy. So, I'm going to definitely try it out and see what I think.
I loved it. Yeah. Let me know when you do, because I'll watch it again.
Be interested to hear what you think of that movie. Right. Especially since you have not been a Wes fan. So, I mean.
Yeah.
Wow.
But. His next movie he has coming out is a Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is based on a Roald Dahl book.
They've been trying
to put that together for a long time. Roald Dahl, who's most famous for Charlie and the Chocolate Factory,
right.
Even James and the Giant Peach. These are his books that he's written.
Cool. That should be interesting. But, yeah, enthusiastic five stars for the Darjeeling Limited. And a little enthusiastic five stars for the Hotel... Shit. Hotel Chevalier.
That was actually...
Which is the little short that comes right before it. They released it online, and they put the short right before the movie. It's Jason Schwartzman's character meeting up with his girlfriend, played by Natalie Portman, for a little small short movie, them getting together. Really, really good. Really fun. And, hey, naked Natalie Portman.
Really? Natalie? Yes.
Natalie Portman...
Shows some skin.
Natalie Portman has junk in her trunk.
She has got a tight little body.
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
But she has a pretty
top and bottom, back bottom,
top spectacular back bottom. I'm not. I mean, she. Yeah. Which
we
is
can tell that.
Which was this way. We hope it leads into further exposures down the line.
Good for her.
Yeah. So,
but only the problem. Well, also, she chopped her hair again. She's had this little boy haircut, but
she's one. I said it before when we were watching. Like, she's one of the few actors that, in my eyes, that can pull it off.
That girl is definitely gone from the. I keep thinking back in was the professional. She's this little girl that you feel all dirty and nasty looking at now, but. She is grown into quite the woman, man. Man, she is. Whew.
But
wow.
Once again, you know, it's a very short thing. Once again, beautifully filmed, just interesting set pieces, beautiful colors, and good dialogue.
So even Pete would agree, get the Darjeeling Limited just to watch the little short with Natalie Portman.
I would say it was worth sitting through the entire thing just because I got to see this.
Nice.
So it wasn't a complete wash.
It was far from a complete wash. That was fabulous.
I mean,
freaking loved
she
it.
She was just in that little snippet short of the women that were involved in the movie itself versus the short.
Well, first of all, here is where we would put in the little transitional clip that you listeners are supposed to send us in. podcast@thecinemaniacs.com. Email us what you think we should put in here. And now we're going to go to listener mail, as a matter of fact. We got an email.
We got a listener mail?
Yeah, we always get listener mail, but I decided we'd start reading it, and then, you know.
Okay.
All right.
We will respond to every piece of mail we get. That's our promise to our viewers.
All right. This is wee shit. Guest star.
Special guest star.
You got a mouse in your pocket?
Anyway, Tim from New York, he said that we really need to go see the Batman film, The Dark Knight, in IMAX, because it really does make a difference. He said that movie was... filmed with IMAX cameras.
Yes, it was.
So it was worth seeing that way.
Yeah, I actually saw that in the HBO first look. They're showing them. They really had difficult times. They had to really, I mean, all the normal rigging mounts that you would have for cameras had to be reinforced, some of them even reinvented, because these IMAX cameras are so big and so heavy and so very expensive. Like, they literally were commenting, one of the scenes they had, one of the filming, they had one of these IMAX cameras, like, rigged to the front of a motorcycle. $300,000 camera rigged to the front of a motorcycle.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So, and that is our intention. I mean, Lisa and I would definitely, and hopefully we'll bring you along with us.
Oh, I'm interested in
seeing it. Definite intentions to see it in IMAX.
I really get interested in seeing it when I was listening to one of my favorite podcasts. Unfortunately, it doesn't come out much anymore, but Cinema Slave. they referred to the Batman movie as, I mean, the only comment that he made on it was, wow, I didn't know Martin Scorsese made Batman movies.
It's true, man.
It's true. It's a great movie.
I need to watch this again. It's awesome. I know. Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Anyways, then we got another email from Chris in Seattle that says, we love your show, and it gets even better when you add more people, such as Lisa and John, of course. We got Pete on here this week.
Yeah.
You know what they say, more than merrier.
Cover all the four corners of the country.
That's right.
With our viewer email. All
right.
That's a smart dude who wrote that, by the way. What's his name?
Chris from Seattle.
Chris from Seattle. Smart man.
Yeah. All right. Next week, out in the theaters, we're having out Mummy 3, Tomb of the Dragon Emperor, as well as Midnight Meat Train, the latest from Clive Barker. It's in limited release. I don't suspect we'll get a chance to see it.
It's got what's his name?
Vinny Jones.
Right? I haven't seen Vinny Jones in anything in a while, all right, man. So Vinny Jones, man. That dude scares the shit out of me.
However, this is a huge week for DVDs. Coming out on DVDs this week is Doomsday, the unrated edition.
Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo?
Yep.
I got to see that.
I rated that. Never Back Down, which has Jamal Hansu in there. That's when the kid goes to school and learns how to fight.
Yeah.
Speaking of Martin Scorsese, Shine a Light, coming out on DVD Blu-ray.
If I gave a crap about the Rolling Stones, I would be all over it.
I'm not a huge fan of this. I like a lot of the
Scorsese
music.
And the Rolling Stones. It's just, wow.
Oh, he loves the Stones, dude. He loves every movie.
That's true.
You can imagine you go to a Stones concert, rocking out the front row of Scorsese.
Over there with a camera.
That'd be great.
You know? Right. Oh, yeah. No,
short little gray haired guy.
Huge fast.
And, of course, War Games 2, The Dead Code. If you listened to our bonus episode a few days ago, if not, get online, see it, or listen to it.
If you ever did that episode, pray for me. You know what I'm talking about.
It serves me right.
This is my penance.
Well, with that, have a good night.
Take care.
Take it easy.
Hey man, you gotta do it right.
Yeah, we're throwing around. That's right. To quote another great movie, anything worth doing is worth doing right. What movie? Who's the actor? Very famous actor.
Kevin Costner.
No.
Robert De Niro.
Nope. Anything worth doing is worth doing right.
I have no idea.
I'll give you the preceding, I believe, comment was, I especially like it when I saw you scratching your balls for about an hour.
Oh, okay.
Anything worth doing is worth doing right.
Okay.
Is it Major League?
No.
Close.
League of Their Own.
League of Their Own. Tom Hanks.
Close?
League. That's baseball, you know, league. You know.
Baseball, league in the title. You were close.
Scratching your balls.
Who's that guy that plays that?
Obviously, it's baseball.
Who's the guy that plays that actor?
The guy that plays the
Tom
actor?
Hanks?
No, not Tom Hanks, but the guy that says it to him, the guy that was facilitating the running.
Oh, David Strathairn.
Strathairn, yeah, he played opposite George Clooney. He played that one famous news radio guy.
Murrow.
Yeah, that was a good movie.
Mm-hmm.
Put me to sleep.
Really?
Yep.
I really enjoyed that. That was really good. I didn't know anything about it.
Good night, good luck. Yeah, that was
I didn't know anything about it, and I still feel like I don't know anything about it.
That's a great
They movie. Smoke a lot. That's what I know about that.
Yeah, that was just back in those days, man. That's everyone did.
Yeah, they sure smoked a lot back then.
Yes. That's what we all got out of the whole movie. They smoked a lot
in the 50s. Yes.
Everything was in black and white, and they smoked.
Nice, dude. You do bring something to the table, don't you, man?
Sunshine's a dog. All right, man. Again, right?
I just hope you haven't shot your load before we start recording, man.
Hey, write that down. We'll run it from script while we start the recording.
This is really lemon limey.
Mm-hmm. That's why I had to put more tequila.
Gotta buy a different tequila next time.
Patron. Patron Platinum.
Yeah.
Platinum Patron.
I don't know. Whatever you were using before is fine.
$80
Well, it was a dollar more, so I was trying to be a cheap bitch.
Is that what it was? The stuff from what were you using last time?
Regular Cuervo. Cuervo Gold.
Oh, just stick with the Cuervo Gold.
This is Cuervo Gold Black Label.
So you think, why would that be cheaper? Was it on sale or something?
Yeah, it was a dollar cheaper.
Wouldn't Cuervo Gold
One was $17.97, one was $16.97.
Let me ask you.
Wouldn't Cuervo Gold Black be, like, supposedly higher?
You would think it'd be fancier, and I'm sure it's higher. It's just a sweeter content. And right. I did not buy the right margarita mix either, I don't think. But,
I mean, I don't mind this. This is good, but...
So what happens is people drink it because it's sweet, and then they get more screwed up.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty screwed up.
But right I now. Don't like really sweet stuff, so...
Yeah, well, like I said, I don't have a problem. It's just different.
I think if I put more ice in it, more tequila, I'd be good. This is intended to be more of like a rum.
Oh.
That's why. Okay. You can drink it with Coke.
It tastes good.
I see.
Like Jeff said, the second one's going to taste like lemonade.
It sure did.
Whether it's because she put tequila in it or not, it's going to taste like lemonade because, you know...
I see.
That's how effective that first one was.
Well, we know. Now we know.
That one that packed the punch.
We've learned
it is smooth, and it says you can drink it on the rocks, so, might just be drinking it on the rocks.
What is it?
See, I got this instead of regular Cuervo. It's Cuervo Black. It's a lot like rum.
She's sampling her own product.
Hey! I had like six beers. Before we went to go see Batman, I was already tipsy.
I know.
I pounded me a whole bunch of shit. That's I was like, hey, let's go see Batman. And I watched it, and I understood all of it.
That's the kind of movie you want to take shrooms before you watch, I think. Yeah.
Nah. Really? For a dream.
You want to take shrooms, Officer Pete Dietrich of the Metropolitan Police Department?
What is it with Terry Gilliam? Because... 12 Monkeys was such an amazing, fantastic movie. And I don't know if I've ever watched another great movie of his. I haven't watched Brazil. I'm told it's great. I haven't watched Time Bandits. Some people like that.
Time Bandits is okay.
Yeah. Time Bandits the kids should watch too, right? I mean, I remember when I saw
the little people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
When that trailer came out.
British.
Really?
It's ridiculously British.
Well, when it came out, I was like, oh, I want to see that movie. And as a grown-up, I even rented it at one point and started watching it and... I stopped at the credits, I think. I never watched it. Then Brazil, so many people love it so much. And I know there's two versions of it. I think it's called Love Never Dies and then the regular version. You're supposed to watch the regular version.
I watched some of it and I was just...
And then they did the Grimm Brothers. Disappointing. But I had extremely high hopes on that.
Heath Ledger. Matt Damon.
Yeah. It's that fantasy movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Bring up Terry Gilliam. What else is he doing?
Was Heath Ledger too?
I know. I love 12 Monkeys. Just phenomenal.
You know Bruce Willis is rumored to be Hannibal Smith in the A-Team movie?
Cool.
Rumor. Terry Gilliam, 12 Monkeys, Bruce Willis.
Yep. Gotcha. Oh, yeah, I made the connection.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Well, yeah, he's a Pythoner. He's a former member.
Directed Tideland. His movie coming out called The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
This is Heath Ledger's actual last movie. Mm. He died while filming this movie. And basically what's going on is... Colin Farrell, Johnny Depp, and another fairly high-profile actor are going to play Heath Ledger's part. And it's going to be like kind of walks through a mirror or something like that, and they're going to play this character in different aspects of his life.
Hmm. Who's this? Who's like?
Heath Ledger's character.
Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus.
And they were making this movie before he died?
Yeah, he died while making this movie. He died during the filming of this movie. So it was either going to... They were either going to recast it, or the thing was just going to die. The movie itself was going to die. And then Colin Farrell, Johnny Depp, and somebody else, another pretty high-profile actor,
so they would step up and each play this particular part in this concept of, you know, changing actors when he goes into these aspects of his life.
He also directed Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Right.
Terrible.
I love that.
Terrible movie.
No, awesome movie.
No.
A freaking fabulous movie. I knew there was more Terry Gilliam that I liked.
One star.
Another one that you liked is The Fisher King.
Love The Fisher King. That was good. It's one of my favorites ever. I'm saying, I like...
Adventures of Baron Munchausen?
Whatever. Good movie? Strange movie. Very good. Yeah, I guess I am a Terry Gilliam fan. Even though I didn't really care for Brazil.
Monty Python's The Meaning of Life.
Love it.
Time Bandits, Jabberwocky.
Never saw that.
The Miracle of Flight.
Nope.
Story Time.
Nope.
Lost in La Mancha. He did not direct it, I guess. That was the one that was like the making of that movie. Making of Don Quixote or something.
Sounds like it.
Right. Blu-ray player is... goes back to the original film and rescans it in digitally and masters it to high definition, which is 1080p resolution. From video games, you know, the more pixels you have, the better resolution you can make.
So it's a regular DVD, how many pixels?
480.
Damn.
Yeah.
Jeez.
And that doesn't mean it's like more than twice. It's actually four times the resolution because you're going both ways up and down and everything.
So... do you have to have a high def TV to play the Blu-ray result, or otherwise you won't get the full experience?
That's correct. Okay. Wow. But most TVs now, if you were to buy a new TV, they're 1080i at least.
Yeah,
there's some cheaper ones that are 720, but most every TV you buy is a high definition TV.
And you're telling me there's a humongous difference.
Is what?
You're telling me there's a humongous difference.
Enormous.
If I'm watching one TV on regular DVD and one TV on Blu-ray, I would definitely be able to tell the difference. Oh, yeah, look at that. That definitely
is
different.
As a matter of fact.
But if I'm not watching, I'm just putting a Blu-ray and I haven't watched a DVD in, say, a couple of days, am I going to sit there and say, wow.
Oh, yes.
Really?
Oh, without a doubt. The colors, they stand out and they're so amazing.
Right?
Oh, easily.
Huh. Your crazy corded phone.
I know. It's that spiral thing. Leading
actually reminds me of a... do you see this comedian, Steve Burns?
No, I don't think so.
He's, I guess he's Irish and Korean or whatever. His dad's Irish, mom's Korean, whatever. He's very funny. He's got a very Seth MacFarlane type voice, very deep voice.
Okay.
But he's very funny, but he was just like, do you remember those old phones, the old big, great, big, huge plastic phones, ones you could actually slam? You know, there was something so gratifying about slamming those phones. You know, you can't do that anymore, you know?
No.
Oh, yeah? Well, up yours! Clang! You know? Now it's like, oh, yeah? Well, up yours! Okay, fold you next. Neat. <Yeah. laughs> I was like, yeah, you can't do that anymore. You can't really slam phones anymore.
No, sure can't.
Walt's got one he can slam.
Sure does.
Like a bastard.
Hard.
That one there?
Casing. Yeah, slam that down, you know? When's the last time you had a good phone slam?
I don't think I slammed any phones, but I click people a lot.
Yeah.
Actually, this phone here, even if I did slam it, has a release button. I probably slammed my mom not too long ago.
Yeah?
Within the last year or two.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I hang up on people.
Oh, I know he hangs up on people.
Mom?
Yeah. Huh?
Mom?
Yeah. She starts talking stuff, and I hang up. And then she called me back. You hung up on me! I said, I know. I'm the one that hung up on you.
Thank you for telling me.
Why did you do that? Because you started talking stuff I don't want to hear. If I don't want to hear it, I'm going to hang up on you.
Nice.
It's that simple.
Oh, you know, the burns there too.
See, if I want to cut a conversation short, all I got to do is say, Walt, I'm driving.
Yeah, right? Conversation over.
I am definitely against cell phone driving, just like the people we were talking before about drunk driving. Studies have shown that driving while talking on the cell phone are as dangerous, if not more so, than drunk driving.
Especially for people who are idiots. This is the majority.
Well, because if you're drunk driving, you're kind of aware you're drunk driving, and so you're like trying to pay extra attention.
That's probably
like,
true.
I'm really fucked up. I should really watch this room.
Right. And a cell phone, you got your hand up to your ear, like da-da-da-da-da. Oh, I just missed that exit. Oh, I just ran into a car.
Yeah.
Up over the curb.
I'm sober, it doesn't matter. My reflexes are great, whereas you're drunk, you're like, oh, fuck, I might not make it home.
Exactly. Hence why so many states, most recently California, passed a law, you can't do it. You know, need a hands-free thing.
I'm pretty good about it.
But, you know, even though it's not a law.
But you know what the funniest part was? Is like one of the times I was in Florida, I was talking to him, I'm like, oh, it's okay, I got a hands-free.
Hey, they just missed my exit.
Yeah.
Oh no, I didn't miss. I got off on the wrong exit. I got off the exit before.
It has nothing to do with your hand up to the air. It has to do with your whole mindset.
Absolutely, you're not paying attention to the road. You're talking.
But
Same studies I read about, and I emailed you them years ago, Pete, is that they show that it does get dramatically reduce the danger of talking on the phone while driving with a hands-free thing.
Sure.
They don't have a law per se that says you can't talk on the phone while driving, but there is a law that says if you're not paying full attention to the roadway and it's affecting your driving, then you're a violation. It's called full attention to driving.
Sure.
So if I see you weaving all over the lanes, I'm like, what's this freaking idiot doing? And then I pull you over, saying, you know, thinking you're drunk, and you're not drunk. You're like, oh, are you drunk or whatever? No, I was just talking on my phone. I could still give you a ticket for failure to pay full attention to driving.
With all kinds of tickets. Like, I mean, I got into an accident where a boat cut me off. A guy towing his boat cut me off, and you know, I didn't have any witnesses to back my story. I got a ticket for failure to maintain the lane.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's a common one. I had somebody come to jail the other day for that.
And someone cut you off?
Yeah, but nobody saw it. I didn't have any witnesses. You had to take the thing was that, and some courtesy bus hit me while I was spinning. And so he had to give a ticket to both of us.
Hard to maintain the lane when you're spinning.
Yeah. He had to give us both a ticket as for some kind of whatever reason.
Yeah.
And the ticket he gave me was failure to maintain the lane.
Yeah.
It's like interesting.
Another thing we have people come to jail all the time walking where a sidewalk is provided, right?
Right.
And the other day is somebody came in riding bicycle on sidewalk where prohibited. It was like the total reverse. That was pretty funny.
Wow. That's crazy.
You bring anybody to jail lately for that?
No. Last bullshit arrest I had was jaywalk.
Oh, jaywalking's common. Jaywalking.
Because if you got a long criminal record and you're in a hot zone, high criminal activity zone, Captain says, you're pulling over jaywalking, take his ass to jail, no tickets. Jail.
You think that's why we have so many people come to jail for jaywalking?
Yeah, and I'll tell you why. The whole reasoning behind it is like, well, an ACLU, of course, tried to fight it. Well, you're picking on these guys because they have a long criminal record, but the person who doesn't have a criminal record committing the same offense, you're not taking them to jail. Why is that? It's like, because
they don't have a long criminal record.
Right, because these idiots who have the long criminal record have a long criminal record because they're the ones committing the goddamn crimes. So if I have a reason to take them to jail and separate them from society, whereas they can no longer commit the crime, I lower crime.
Well, that's it. You know, if he's got a long criminal record, wherever he's walking, there's probably a crime at the end of that walk.
Right. Or there was a crime before the walk. Either way, yeah, you know, they say one of the truest statements they ever said, I don't know the exact statements, it goes along somewhat, 20% of the population commits 80% of the crime. Mm-hmm. And that's so true, because how is it that very few of us, you know, normal citizens are ever arrested, and if it's especially more than once? How is it that some of these people have been arrested time and time and time again? I mean, you just, whatever you're doing, only attracting police attention. You're doing something wrong. Because mm-hmm. Joke you citizen does not get freaking arrested over and over and over again unless they're out committing freaking crimes. So, you know, they're not attracting police attention left and right. So any freaking one of these idiots, these do-gooders or these ACLU people, want to sit there and say, well, you're unfairly profiling. I'm like, really? I cannot arrest somebody who has not committed a crime. So even if I profile, if I say, that guy's a dirtbag, I can't just go up and arrest him because I think he's a dirtbag. Or even if he is a dirtbag, I can't arrest him for being a dirtbag. He has to be committing a crime. I've never arrested an innocent person in my life. You know, they may have been found not guilty or acquitted or whatever. In the long run, that's okay. That's the judicial process. But they were not innocent, or I would not have arrested them. You know, it's just skinny of it.
Yep.
So, it's not unfair stereotype or unfair profiling. It's damn good police work and observation is what it is. Because, you know, pretty soon it's like, after a while you just look at someone, you know, oh, he's a shitbag. He's up to no good. But she's got warrants, but she's got this, that, and the other thing. And you find a reason to stop him. You wait till he does something that's against the law.
Right.
Steps off the curb. Now he's walking in the street where a sidewalk's provided. Now you stop him. Now you run him. He's got a crap load of warrants. I mean,
bye-bye.
It's like this idiot yesterday. Freaking stop him. His buddy's got a $5,000 warrant. It's like, you know, both out of the car. And this guy, oh, I don't have my ID with me, but I have a Nevada ID card. And he gives me a name, a date of birth that doesn't come up in the Nevada DMV computer. And I'm like, dude, if you have a Nevada ID card, your name and date of birth will come up in this computer. So what's your name and date of birth? He tells me the same thing. I go and I run it again. I even go so far as to check with dispatch, hey, is DMV computer up right now? She says, working just fine. Okay.
Get out of the car. You just called one of your coworkers a bitch?
Yeah, you did do that, didn't you? So I checked with this bitch.
That's what you said.
What?
You said I just checked with this bitch.
Yeah.
I even checked with this bitch.
Wow.
No.
Yes, you did.
You totally did.
I just recorded it.
Rewind that.
He can play that shit back for you, man.
That shit back.
I will, but not right now.
Yeah, we're still recording. We're still going to switch over this.
So, anyways.
What's this problem you have with your female coworkers,
man? Anyways. So, I immediately get out of the car. I go throw the guy in handcuffs. Why are you throwing my handcuffs? Because you're freaking lying to me about who you are. And he's very adamant. No, that's who I am. Or whatever. I'm like, you're a fucking liar. Because you would come up on the DMV computer.
Right.
So I get consent to search the vehicle. And lo and behold, under the passenger seat where the liar was sitting, is a Nevada ID card.
Uh-huh.
That the picture is of him. Date of birth is off by one day. The last name is different, but still starts with the same letter.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, this is your name. This is your date of birth. Oh, no, that's not me. That's my twin brother. Okay. What is your birth date? He goes, 5/3/86. Okay. Your brother and you are twins. Yes. So it means you were born on the same day.
Right.
Yes. Because you both were in the same stomach, came out of the same womb. Yes. Okay. Why was your brother born a day later than you? Right?
Mm-hmm. Now, did he have the wherewithal to go, well, I was born at 11:59 and he was born at 12:05.
No.
No, of course not. That would be funny, though.
No, instead he goes, no, my brother's date of birth same day as mine. I'm like, what's your birthday? 5/2/86. Birthday on the DL is 5/3/86. I'm like, well, what a quinky think, right? I think not.
Yeah.
And he kept giving me the last name of Parker. The name is Perkins on the ID card. It looks just like him. I'm like, dude.
When did you run him already? I mean, you got to run him already. Tell us to get to that point.
Well, I told him, I said, you're full of shit. This is you. And I bet you my next paycheck that when I run this up, it's going to come up with a warrant. And that's why you're lying about who you are.
Yep.
You want to take that bet? Tucked his head down. I go in and run him. He's got a same exact freaking warrant as the damn driver in the car.
Sure. Okay. So anyway, that's awesome. It's good detective work. Now, back to the bitch. The bitch
that
you...
So I get out. It's 2020.
So I figured I just got a warrant. I jump out of the car. I said, God damn, I'm good. You know, look at me. I said, God damn. I said, you know, you should be saying right now, God damn, Officer Quinn, you're a fucking goddamn good police officer. I'm so sorry. I apologize. I lied to you. I'm a dumb shit.
That's right.
What was the driver? Did you get him for anything?
Yeah, he had the $5,000 warrant that I originally stopped him for.
Oh, he put the driver's license under the passenger seat?
No. The driver was perfectly honest about who he was and stuff. I ran the plate, and the plate came up with a registered owner had a $5,000 warrant for battery domestic violence. So I stopped the car immediately, get the driver in custody, asked him, what's your name? He goes, whatever, John Doe, and that's who I knew the warrant was for. I was okay, you know. I get the passenger out of the car because I notice he's got a malt liquor in between his... legs. So I'm like, PC. Get him out of the car, and that's when I try to identify him, and all that happens. So.
What's PC?
Probable cause.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Can't just harass people for no reason. You have to have probable cause. You can't even pull people over for no reason. You're supposed to have probable cause.
You don't need to have probable cause to stop somebody. All you need is reasonable suspicion. Probable cause means you have enough to arrest somebody for. Probable cause means that based on the facts and circumstances of the situation...
So what reasonable suspicion did you have to pull him over? I mean, in reality, you ran his license plate.
The registered owner of the vehicle had a warrant. The registered owner of the vehicle is a black male. I can see there's a black male driver.
Wait. But I thought you just can't run plates randomly.
I can run any plate I want for absolutely no reason. Routinely, you can run plates. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Wasn't there a time where you couldn't?
Yes. There was a time where you had to articulate why you run that plate, but not anymore. Okay. Because it's fucking stupid. Why do you need a reason to run plates? To be able to run plates
just
arbitrarily?
Run the damn plate.
Okay. Because that's what I'm saying. You needed to have probable cause before to pull people over.
All you need is reasonable suspicion.
And now, but back then you couldn't have a reasonable suspicion because you ran their plate, because you couldn't run their plate.
Right. Well, it was very simple. I saw him commit a minor traffic violation, so I ran the plate. I mean, silly stuff. Doing 46 to 45, speeding, ran the plate. You know, it was a joke to even have to articulate because you could have made up any bullshit reason. Yeah.
Now, was that company policy, department policy?
No, I think it was more of a DA thing. The stuff is getting thrown out of court because he pulled my client over. He ended up discovering all these drugs and all this other BS. But he didn't. They would argue he didn't have reason to pull him over to begin with, because if he didn't run his plate, which didn't have real life to do, the stop would have never happened. Thus, he would never have been arrested. Therefore, everything should be dismissed. But
so somebody had a case that must have gone through that said.
I think the Supreme Court ruled. Why should a police officer need a reason to run plates? He's not stopping you. He's not invading your privacy. He's not stopping. He's not getting in your way. He's just running plates. And those plates, you know, you don't have a right to expectation of privacy or license plates. You're out there in the open. The plates belong to the property of the Nevada DMV. So they should be able to do routine cursory checks because they don't put you in any kind of imposition whatsoever.
His fish died today, and you want to make fun of him.
No, the best part of the fish thing, and I told him when he's over it, I'm gonna. I said, "Can I tell you a joke?" He said, "No." Said, when you're ready to hear a joke, I've got one for you. No, they're not here right now, right?
No, they're what,
are you
they're all
to
back.
Sauna for him or a hot tub?
Because the kids come down and says, "Movie," they're giggling. Butts off, they're laughing so hard. It's like, Daniel's fish, he's doing so funny. He's like, oh, look, look at that. He's flipping all the way back and forth and giggling. And he's just all wiggling around and doing backflips. He's swimming on his back and he's doing all this stuff. I'm thinking that fish is like, hot, 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 hot.
What did I say on the phone?
Because they put him in hot boiling water. It's, I guess out of the sink.
Jeff said, he's rolling around to stop the flames.
Fish trap, grab and roll! I said, this fucking turned his fish into Richard Pryor.
That's what he said.
That poor little fish is like a little beta fish. And they put him, they were cleaning his tank out, so it's a little beta fish. So they pour him into a cup. It's just supposed to be water, just a temporary holding, but I guess they ran the hot water to fill up this cup. And I thought they were tropical fishes. So he's rolling around putting out the flames.
That was a funny one. I was like, oh, that's funny. Messed up. And then she told me, oh, yeah, they were excited because that fish was running around. I'm like, yeah, man.
They were giggling. And then they run back upstairs and like,
he took a big poop. Yeah, I took a big poop. And yeah, I was like,
that's what he said. Oh, he pooped. That was like the life
goal. Right. Body just releasing. That's the right. Last bit of life. Your body just relaxes and releases everything.
That was it.
Dude, nice.
Mommy, I think Daniel's fish is dead.
That's the last discharge right there.
That was it, hey, we did everything we could for that fish.
She did it. Yeah. She was doing her part. She was pressing on his chest. And now, are both fishes gone?
No. That's the thing. So what they're supposed to do is get the water ready and then stick the water in the cups, then put the fish in the cups so that they can get
cups
the tanks.
Cups plural, because they're beta fish. They can't go together, else they fight.
Right. So each of them has their own different cup. So Daniel did his fish. Well, I guess I'm not sure which fish went first into the hot water. And here's the sad thing about Mike's fish is Mike's fish has already met a horrible accident about a month ago or so where Daniel accidentally knocked him onto the carpet. Oh, you should have seen these kids. I've never seen them move so fast. Where's they move that fast? Take the trash out. Shit. Oh, my God, my fish is gonna die. Oh, it was horrific. So there, you see Daniel's running down the hallway and he's got his hands cupped together and there's a fish flopping in his hands and he puts it in the sink, and this is no joke. This is the first time. Well, you would think that, right? Because they didn't have the sink stopped up, and they had ice cold water pouring on this poor fish, and he's flopping in Daniel's hands. And I'm like, oh shit! Thank God he doesn't go down the sink.
Oh man.
Well, that's the first time that fish survived, and you know, beta fish—they have the long, flowing, beautiful fins. Well, he lost some finnage during that time.
Oh, man. What the hell?
So, this is this poor fish, okay? So, he survived that incident. Well, today, he damn near got cooked to death, okay? So, he's in his little tank, and I'm looking at Daniel's fish, right? And I'm like, oh, shit. So, I'm fixing his fish and trying to fix it. And then they look over, and Mike's fish is in a cup, too. And it's like, oh my God, Mike's fish. And you see him starting to sink down toward the bottom. So, it's like, oh, damn. So, I scooped him out, and I fixed up Mike's fish. We just put him back in his retaining bucket where his original water was at, and he managed to survive. But the other guy, he had
he was
very
just barely moving. That Michael's fish was just.
I know.
And the other one, he was just like you know when you're in a pool and you're in the deep end and you just let yourself go and you're just floating around and just moving.
It was like that. It was about, and then he had like his lucky fin was just barely pulsating. It was pathetic.
On Michael's or Daniel's?
On Daniel's. It was so bad. Yeah, it was bad. And
you okay, Olympia?
So a little bit later, Michael's fish. You know, he's doing good. But I told Mike he should rename his fish Lucky. Mike's like, no.
Well, that was the thing I told Daniel. His fish was named Spencer. And I said, you know, back in the 70s, they used to have a show called Spencer for Hire. So you should call him For Hire. For Hire. That's a good name. For Hire. Oh, fire! Like you cook the fire. You didn't find that funny.
No, yeah, I would imagine.
Baby, 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 you got a black heart. I thought my heart was black. Shit. Awesome. I love it. Hey, that ranks right up there with why monkeys eat their babies.
Did you hear that, Pete? Why monkeys eat their babies? Monkeys eat their babies because they haven't evolved to the point where they've invented trash cans.
Oh. he says, do you know why monkeys don't use trash cans? Or no? Yeah. I have it written down somewhere. We'll have to get it out for y'all.
Well, we're talking about the monkeys eating the babies, and he goes, "Well, you know, that's they haven't evolved enough to eat to they haven't evolved enough to use trash cans, so
yeah,
that's why they eat their
that's
babies.
That's why they eat their babies. Like, yeah,
wow, that
was genius.
That was awesome. Yeah,
just like calling Spencer Fryer.
Spencer Fryer.
Fire. Oh shit!
Did you put any margarita mix
on
this?
Fire.
Nah. Oh yeah, I did.
We're taking shots of Cuervo Gold right
now.
Yeah,
put this in there. That'll make it really tasty.
No, I'm telling you.
No, they love the squirt
margaritas.
We are
taking shots of tequila over here.
It's margarita
squirt. That is some tart shit. The face he made.